Welcome to Inspiration at Work, where you will hear from business leaders from around the world on what they are doing at work and through work to make the world a better place. This is the most positive talk radio show on the planet, where we have evicted the tenets of cynicism and criticism and set up residence on Inspiration Boulevard, right in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. And now, your host, America's Chief Inspiration Officer, Terry Barber.
Welcome back to another fantastic edition of Inspiration at Work. We have an incredible show for you today, and I'm delighted to once again have a co-host back by the name of Stone Peyton. Stone, thank you so much for being a part of the show today.
Hey, man, you are more than welcome. Thanks for letting me play. This is going to be a fun interview. This guy's got a lot going on, doesn't he?
I think he's got a lot going on, and it's in. I think what is all the more fascinating is in light of the kind of interviews, the kind of guests we've had on the show lately. It may be hard to reach to that standard, but I think this guy's up for it. So I want to introduce to our listeners today Mr. Josh Tetrick, who is the founder and CEO of an organization called 33 Needs. Josh, say hello to our folks.
Hey, y'all. How you doing? Terry, good to be with you. Stone, good to be with you, too.
Hey, it's going to be a great show. I believe that you are on the cutting edge of some really, really good kinds of trends that the world needs to hear about. And I would love just to kick it off very early on in our conversation. Tell us a little bit about this thing called 33 Needs. What is your vision? What is your mission? And what's behind there?
I'll tell you. So, you know, it really started for me, Terry. I was in law school. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I was sort of caught up on the traditional path of working for a law firm. And I spent between my first and second year of law school time with a program inside the United Nations in Kenya. And this program would invest UN capital into small and medium-sized businesses in Kenya that were promoting social and environmental causes inside the country. So these were businesses, not nonprofits, not government agencies, but businesses that were using their business models to make a difference in the lives of Kenyans and to make a difference in terms of the environment. I was captivated by the idea. I loved it. I started thinking, all right, maybe the law firm path isn't right for me. Graduated from law school and then became really interested in what the Obama campaign was doing to raise money online, and channeled lots of energy of young people and everyone around the country to get involved in the campaign. And I was particularly enamored with their online platform to raise money. So I started to think, you have all of these entrepreneurs out there in sub-Saharan Africa and East Asia, all across the United States, who are interested in using business to make a difference in the world. They're interested in using business to promote clean energy. They're interested in using business to promote women's rights. They're interested in using business to fight global hunger and urban inequality. Is there a way to merge that experience I saw with United Nations in Kenya, where we would invest in these businesses that were doing good? And what I saw in terms of the online fundraising platform that the Obama campaign was all about. So bringing those two things together really were the genesis of the idea for 33 Needs. And we have been live for about 29 days now. And it's a platform for anyone around the world to invest in these good companies, invest in these entrepreneurs that really think, you know what, we can use fresh and innovative solutions to solve some of the world's biggest needs. We're not afraid to say, and we want to be sustainable businesses. And my platform is a way of connecting those people that believe business can do some good in the world and connecting them with the entrepreneurs that are trying to lead that charge.
Well, you've accomplished a great deal in 29 days, Josh. My hat is off to you, my friend.
Thank you, Terry.
And it appears that there's an awful lot of pent up, I was going to use the classic form of and word of passion, but the truth is what's behind that and what's behind so much passion, when people really begin to generate passion, is also a lot of angst, a lot of frustration. And you have to tell me a little bit about what is behind your passion that caused you to be so emotional about this cause.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, it really started talking with, when I was in college, I went to college in upstate New York, and I used to hang out with my friends in the third floor lounge at Cascadilla Hall, and my friends up there who are listening to this will remember those conversations. And we used to talk about what we were going to do with the rest of our lives. What are we going to do when we graduate from college? You know, what types of careers are we going to pursue? And I was always frustrated, Terry, by the idea that these smart, driven people were pursuing careers without meaning. And the reason they were pursuing careers without meaning is because they felt pressured by family or friends. They felt like it was the only way to build a financially sustainable life. And it really annoyed me, frankly, that all these good people were choosing careers with little impact when they could have been doing so much good for the world and also building a sustainable career for themselves at the same time. And this idea that purpose and profit are these two mutually exclusive ideas, I just don't think applies anymore to the challenges that we face in the 21st century. And when I went to law school, boy, you run into it all the time there. You know, smart young people who choose to pursue careers that, you know, unfortunately aren't doing much for society and, you know, don't end up doing much for themselves personally. And, you know, what we're doing with 33 Needs is sort of a response to channel that energy to say to people, you know what, you can start businesses. You can build a sustainable career for yourself, a sustainable business, and you can do good for the world at the same time. And it's also a response to, you know, I met lots of entrepreneurs in sub-Saharan Africa. I spent time in Cape Town, South Africa, in Monrovia, Liberia, Nairobi, Kenya. I was in Ethiopia recently. And you walk around the streets of Africa, and I'll tell you what, you feel the entrepreneurial energy. And you can sense it just needs to be channeled. There needs to be a platform to channel that energy and that creativity. So what we're doing is sort of a response to, you know, my frustration with the young people that I'm friends with in the States, and a frustration in seeing that those entrepreneurs in Africa don't have a place to connect to resources and capital to really make their ideas happen.
Well, I don't want to just camp on this thought for the show because it's not the intent, but I love the insight that you are potentially bringing to our listeners here, that listen to your frustration. Tune in to that which is really turning your crank on the inside and see how you might channel it in a very positive kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I see it all the time, Terry. I do a lot of speaking at universities around the country. And, you know, you talk to young people. I was at the University of Pennsylvania last weekend, and you know, you talk to lots of young people, and this doesn't just apply to young people. It applies across the spectrum of people frustrated with their career, frustrated they're not having a purpose in what they're doing, and you sense that people are looking for a different option. People are looking for a different outlet, a new way to channel their energy. And I think one of the ways to channel all this pent-up energy out there is to engage in businesses that could have a positive impact in society, that there's a way for people out there to align their strengths and their passions and connect that with a purpose that's a little bit higher than themselves.
Sometimes
those dots are a little bit hard to connect, but you know, when a young engineering student comes up to me and says, you know, I'm really interested in mechanical engineering, and you know, I don't want to have a boring career for the next 20, 30 years, but I have no idea what to do. And then you say, so, you know, Amit, what are you passionate about though? What are you really interested in? And he'll say, you know what, there's some engineering challenges in my country, in India. There are some water issues. There's a lot of dirty water there. People are dying because they don't have access to clean water. You know, doing something about that would excite me. And then you tell him, you know what, you could, number one, you could work with some companies out there that are doing something to clean up the water infrastructure in India to help people access clean water and also being sustainable businesses at the same time. But maybe even better than me, maybe you could think about starting your own thing, a business, and using those tools of engineering that you're learning in school to make a difference in the lives of, you know, a region that you feel connected to.
So tell us a little bit, Josh, about this thing that is becoming quite a phenomenon on, in particular on the web, called crowdfunding. We've heard of crowdsourcing, but you have really championed crowdfunding. How does it work?
You know, I think the best way to think about it, Terry, is a lot of my friends say, isn't crowdfunding just fundraising by a different name? Aren't you, you know, internet guys just being clever and labeling something that's been happening for the last, you know, 1,000 years plus? You just call it by a different name. And I think the best way, you know, right now to describe it is to think about the difference between traditional social movements, traditional protest movements, and what happened in Egypt over the last 2 months. You know, in Egypt, you had all these people literally just using Facebook and the power of their convictions to draw millions of people on the street to champion democracy. And part of the reason why they were able to draw so many millions of people out on the street is using the tools of the social web, using Facebook, using Twitter, using other tools of the social web, and you combine that with the human energy, and you're able to make big things happen. I think crowdfunding is a way of channeling all of that energy out there, and it takes advantage of internet connectivity, the diffusion of the internet, lower barriers to entry to get on the web and to start things. And I guess broadly the definition is lots of people networking and pulling their money together to support people, projects, causes, and companies online. So where before it was hard for all these people to get together in one place and champion something and back a project, now because of the diffusion of the internet and the tools of the social web, it's easy. And you can have tens of thousands of people contributing $5 to one project, and they're all in there contributing together. And the cool thing about crowdfunding for me, Terry, is it's really more than just about the money. It creates a sense of community. So when someone contributes $5 or whatever it is, there's a sense that they're a part of this, that they want to tell their friends about it, that they want to tweet and Facebook about it. So it creates a sustainable community that I think is important, that's extremely important for nonprofit organizations. It's important for political leaders, and it's important for companies like the ones on 33 Needs that are trying to do some good in the world too.
Hey, Josh, this is Stone. What kind of ventures can we expect to be funding if we participate in this kind of thing? What kind of businesses are you seeing crop up from this?
So we got, we've had over 900 applications thus far, the list on our platform.
Wow.
We've had, you know, and that mostly comes from a combination of students really virally passing the application around on our college campuses, and people internationally getting a hold of the application that we churned out, and it's sort of, you know, virally going from country to country and people filling out, which was pretty cool. So we've had over 900 applications. We've accepted about 202 of these Good for the World businesses, Good for the World organizations to list on our site. And some of the ones that I think are particularly compelling that are up now, there's a company called More Than Me, started by a phenomenal woman that I actually met in Liberia, Katie Myler. She's actually there in Liberia right now, a small country in West Africa. And if your listeners have ever seen the movie Blood Diamond with Leonardo DiCaprio, it sort of depicts the events of Liberia in a neighboring country, Sierra Leone, over the last 2-3 decades, just a region totally racked by war and by violence. So Katie's trying to do something about that. And she's starting a company that works with women in Monrovia, Liberia, the capital of Liberia, to manufacture laptop slip covers, initially to be sold in U.S. College campus stores and in the United Kingdom. And 50% of the proceeds from the sale of these laptop slip covers will go to fund the education of young girls in Liberia who are currently living out on the street and just need a little bit of money for a school fee to get into the school and have an opportunity in their lives. Yeah, another company that we're really proud to be associated with is called Half United. And they're a clothing company. So Katie's is a product company, the laptop slip cover, More Than Me. And Half United, started by Carmen Black in North Carolina, is a clothing company. And Carmen, you know, was looking, she's interested in fashion, and she was looking for a way to use her interest in fashion to make a difference in the world. So they sell clothing, and 50% of the proceeds of the sale of clothing, of the clothing that they sell online, goes to fight global hunger around the world. There's another company that's working with us called ILLVP, which is more concerned with issues here in the United States of urban inequality, of giving young people in urban communities the chance to be entrepreneurs. So they work with young people in inner city Richmond, Virginia, and they teach them the tools of social entrepreneurship, and they help them understand the fundamentals of building a business, selling a product or selling a service as a really a way to catalyze opportunity for them and give them a chance. So we have these businesses, they're based in the U.S., they're based in Africa, they're based in East Asia, and as far as we're concerned, we're totally geographically agnostic. We just want to work with entrepreneurs that get it, that are using, you know, their skills to do something good for the world. And we don't care where the support's coming from either. We want it to come from Atlanta, and we want it to come from Birmingham, and we want it to come from, you know, Shanghai. But we just want to try, we want to do some good through our platform.
And I love this win-win. It's not only creating and doing good in the world, but it's also clearly creating and raising up jobs.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's, you know, that is so central. And that's something that, you know, we talk to our entrepreneurs about. And it's not just, there's so many catalytic effects that happen from creating a business like this, where, you know, Half United in North Carolina, as they become bigger, as they continue to scale up, I mean, that's creating jobs in North Carolina as they're solving problems around the world. And that's something that, you know, really speaks to the central mission of what we're up to.
Yeah, and it's amazing just how quickly that kind of movement can really take root and get traction. I'm continuing to be amazed, as so many are, by the story of Tom Chu's, who really created in many ways that kind of model.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's interesting you mentioned that, Terry. Carmen from Half United was inspired by the buy one, give one, by the one-for-one model by Tom Shoes. And if your listeners aren't familiar with that model, it's a global shoe company, and you buy a pair of shoes at a place like JCPenney's, for instance, and a pair of shoes is given to a child around the world. So there's an alignment between the sale, between the purchase, and the good that's being created. And that really speaks to, you know, what we're trying to get at 33 Needs, that alignment between the business and the good, between the good and the business, so that there's a virtuous cycle between the money brought in and then that need being solved, whether that need is getting young girls off the street, feeding people around the world, promoting entrepreneurship in the United States, or the countless other needs out there in the world and here in the U.S.
You know, your cause and much of the work that your participants are involved in is reason enough, compelling enough just to donate money, but you refer to them, people who are getting involved, as investors. Do they really get a return on their money, Josh?
Yeah, you know, Terry, part of the reason I think that we decided to go with that investment approach is that experience that I had investing in small and medium-sized companies in Kenya, with that approach that it's more than a donation. And I think, you know, for us, we decided to go with investment. We understand that most people are supporting these companies on 33 Needs simply because they think they're fresh and innovative approaches to do good. And we recognize that. We also think it's important, I guess, for accountability on both sides, that when someone supports a company like More Than Me, they also are promised, there's a contract between the company and the investor that says, for X number of years or X number of months, More Than Me will share a percentage, in their case it's 2%, of their revenue with you. And it's all proportional to how much you invest. So it's another way for us to sort of emphasize the difference between what we're doing and a traditional donation model, which we're fine with. We think that absolutely has its place. But we think it gives a little more accountability to the entrepreneurs that we work with. And we also want the people that invest in these companies to be buyers of their products and buyers of their services. And sort of, I was explaining this to someone the other day, you know, my grandma, when she invests in companies in the stock market, she's more likely to go and buy groceries from those companies. She's more likely to tell her friends, you know, to go out to eat at that restaurant. So we really wanted to create, you know, an idea where, you know, these people who are supporting the companies really are rooting, you know, not only for their social and environmental success, but also their financial success.
So do you have to have Terry Barber depth pockets to get involved in this, Josh, or can a stone get involved?
Stone, I'll tell you what, my little brother Jordan, who is probably listening in New Jersey right now, he might have $5 in his pocket right now. And that $5 probably just came to his pocket this morning somehow. And all you need is you can invest as little as a dollar and contribute. And that's something for us. You know, it goes back to one of the central tenets of crowdfunding and how I think it's different than traditional fundraising. You know, we want someone, like, besides the fact that he's my little brother and I want him to participate, you know, we want someone to invest just a dollar or $2 because it's a way of getting them engaged. It's a way of making them feel a part of something. And even if it doesn't even if it's not the tipping thing, the tipping point that leads to these companies hitting their funding targets, you know, for us, it's more than just helping these companies raise money to do good things. It's also about creating a movement around using your talents and your strengths and applying it to making the world a better place, applying it to solving needs here in the U.S. and around the world. So, you know, if my little brother invests a dollar and it opens his eyes up to different opportunities and it's a means to get him engaged, bring that dollar on. We'll take it, Jordan.
So, you know, we have a lot of listeners on our show who are associated with nonprofit organizations. And some of them are new, very, very early startups. Some of them have been around for years. And I believe that there's a lesson here for all of them to take note of. But I'd just be curious, from your perspective, do you think your model is either a replacement or, if nothing else, at least a complement to a traditional nonprofit form of fundraising?
You know, Terry, I definitely think it is. I don't know if it's a replacement. I think as crowdfunding continues to grow, again, through some of these tools of the social web and the diffusion of the internet, you know, eventually it could be a replacement. But, you know, for the nonprofits listening to the show, there are a lot of 33 needs since we focus on for-profit businesses that are catalyzing change might not be the appropriate platform, but there are so many crowdfunding platforms out there that they should take a look at in order to get on there and raise some money and engage with the community. And off the top of my head, there's a great one called Global Giving, at globalgiving.com. There's another one called CrowdRise. There's one called Start Some Good. And these are, they're good because they also allow for experimentation. So if a nonprofit out there, let's say, focused on rural inequality, let's say in my hometown in Alabama, where I grew up, and they're focused on rural inequality, if they want to experiment with a particular project, maybe they only need to raise $20,000, let's say, for a new approach to deal with inequality in rural areas in Alabama, they could use one of these crowdfunding platforms to raise money for that very discrete project, raise awareness around that very discrete project, and then use the money just for that. So it wouldn't have to be for total operational costs. And I think, you know, it's important for listeners to note, when you're using these crowdfunding platforms, one of the important things that we've learned just in 28, 29 days being up, and I'm sure you're familiar with the importance of this, Terry, is, you know, story is so important. You know, being able to tell a story to the people that are coming to your fundraising page is so critical. And being able to, you know, have those visual images and those concrete details that really draw the person in. And I think that's another thing that makes crowdfunding a little bit different than traditional fundraising, that there's a more of a human element there almost. There's a deeper connection, because it's not sort of giving to a large organization, it feels more personal and it feels more direct.
So, Josh, you know, we want to support you. Love what you're doing. Love your heart. Love your passion. So how can our listeners help?
I'll tell you what, Terry, the biggest thing that they can do is think about how they can use whatever they love right now, whatever they're passionate about right now, and connect that with starting a business that can have a positive impact in their society, could have a positive impact in their world. And secondly, they can take a look at some of the incredible entrepreneurs on 33needs.com, read about them, get engaged with them. It can be more than just investing them. It could simply be reading about them and sharing their story with a friend or a family member. But broadly for us, Terry, you know, we started this because, you know, we just think this is a means to have a bigger impact on some of the issues we see in the U.S. and around the world. So if, you know, your listeners can take some inspiration from the stories on 33needs.com and use it in their own lives to find different paths to channel their energy and do things that they're passionate about, that's an amen for us. We'll be happy.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome interview. Thank you, Josh, so much for sharing your time, your story, your life, And we just wish you the best, and we look actually very much forward to staying in touch. We'd love to have you back on for an update in the days to come. We've been speaking with Josh Tetrick, who is the founder and CEO of 33needs.com. Please go check it out, participate, invest, maybe have an idea and submit, but come and be a part of making the world a better place. You've been listening today to Inspiration at Work with your host, Terry Barber, my co-host, Stone Payton. And we are saying to you today, you go out, you be the most inspiring person that you know today, and keep on inspiring every day.
You have been listening to Inspiration at Work on the GII Network with your host, Terry Barber. Find us on the web at www.inspirationboulevard.com and follow us on Twitter at Inspiration Boulevard.